The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
It's God. You know, sometimes it's good to say something wonderful to people. You don't know when last they heard that. Okay, some bullets and bayless people here. It takes a long time for they get a compliment. So just manage this one. Also, the Lord sends she or he that is to come. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, very quickly. This morning I'm bringing a charge to us. Okay. And some of you, if you followed our ministry over time, for some time now, sometime around 2016, I did a kind of a series on Christian conduct. Some of you remember that day, Christian conduct. And this period, the Lord will have me go back to that. Okay? But then, it's not going to run in this kind of series as you've always known. How it's going to run is, I'll pick one major issue and handle it, and then maybe sometime next month I'll come to another issue. You get the point? Sometime next 2 months I'll come to another issue. It will be a series, but it will not come Sunday after Sunday. I don't get the point. So just we're going to be talking about conduct. So I'm starting it today with a very important issue. And before I start, one of the things I always don't want you to miss whenever I'm talking about conduct, whenever I'm talking about conduct in church, and I always like starting from there. And because if you miss it, if you miss that point, you will always get the issue of conduct right. And that is the fact that we are saved in Christ and eternally saved. You get the point? We do not do right to earn salvation or to keep it. Do we get the point? We do not do right to earn salvation or to keep it. The way the Bible put it in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, it said we are created in Christ Jesus unto every good works. And so we are not saved by good works, but we are created unto good works. In fact, the way it appears, when it says we are created, it looks like, it comes like, if you're very used with computer language, it's more like programming. When you say you are programmed unto good works, just like when you get a phone is programmed to do some things, it's programmed to make calls. So naturally, a phone will make calls. So when you came into Christ, there was a programming that you received. And that programming is good works. Hallelujah. And so good works is what we do. Not to earn our salvation, nor to keep it, neither is it to maintain it. I said again, we do not do good works to earn our salvation, to keep it, or to maintain it. We do not do good works to earn our salvation, to keep it or to maintain it. We are not saved by works. We are not kept by works. I get the point. And as the minister said recently, and it was very painful, he said that when you give, I'm just quoting, that when you give a life to Christ, that give your life to Christ is the starting point. That when you now give your life to Christ, you now start walking and your work will begin to count to God. That's nonsense. Get the point. You see, it looks like after you give your life to Christ, you will not start walking to now make heaven. No. It looks like give your life to Christ is the door. When you now come in, you now start doing one or two things. No. You do not work to get salvation. If I, as a matter of fact, I've said this over time. A salvation you did not work to get, you cannot work to keep it. You get the point? A salvation that did not require your work to get it, does not require your work to keep it. And so, if you're here and you're born again, you've accepted Jesus, you've believed in the sacrifice of Jesus. Settle it in your heart that God has accepted you. I get the point. Settle it in your heart that you are God's child once and for all. Settle it in your heart that he will never throw you away. Hallelujah. He said, can a mother forget her baby? He said, it's not possible. He said, even if a mother does, he said, I will never forget you. I get the point. God is a better father than your father. He won't disown you. When you came into Christ, you received his DNA. He's not going to throw you away. And that's why we teach conduct not as an attempt to become God's friend. Conduct is not an attempt to remain God's friend. Conduct is not an attempt to gain God's approval. I get the point. What is conduct? Conduct is simply where you begin to live out the reality of who you are already. Am I talking to you this morning? It's a very powerful foundation I want to lay. Conduct is where you begin to live out and express the reality of who you are. In other words, when I walk up to you and say, stop lying, I am not saying stop lying so that you make heaven. I'm saying stop lying because lying is not who you are. You're not a liar. I don't get the point. When I say stop stealing, I'm not saying stop stealing so that God will be happy with you. No. I'm saying stop stealing because you are not a thief. That's the simplest way. Like I normally say, when you look at a human being, maybe you give birth to a child, and then one day you come back to the house and you find your child playing and making noise, doing meh. Do you understand? Doing meh. Now you're going to say, what you say something like, are you a goat? Why are you behaving like that? Why are you challenging him to stop that? Because you are not, what you are saying is not, if you continue this, you become a goat. Is that what they're saying? What they are saying is, stop this, you are not a goat. I don't even get the point. As one who says stop lying, you are not saying if you keep lying, you become a liar. No, we're saying stop lying because you are not a liar. Say, I'm saved. Oh, like you say, I'm saved. I'm accepted in the beloved. And so settle that in your heart. That is even where living right becomes easy. You know, when you're working so hard to earn something, you're working so hard, and you know, Satan is just Satan, he's just being himself. You will never be good enough. I didn't get the point. Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. You will never be good enough. Your works will always fail you. I don't like to tell you, you always disappoint yourself. Every time you search your heart, you'll see something bad. Try it now. Search your heart. Search it. Search it again. Once you search your heart, there is something bad there. It's just devil. That's how he is. Hallelujah. He keeps talking to you. And so you must settle it in your heart that God is pleased with me because I'm his son. Hallelujah. Okay, now, so when we talk about conduct, what we are talking about practically is the need to begin to live out who you truly are. Because when you came into Christ, you were not just forgiven of your sins. You were given dominion and authority over sin. I didn't get the point. The way the Bible put it in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, verse 14. King James will say, sin shall not have dominion over you. NLT will say, sin is no longer your master. I didn't get the point. And so when I say stop sinning, I'm only saying this guy is no more your master, so stop obeying him. Stop following him. The sin is no longer. So he's not saying you should not make sin your master. He's telling you what is your current reality. Are you getting the point this morning? That sin is no longer your master. And so you must begin to see yourself like that. So by the time I get to verse 11 now said, reckon ye yourself dead to sin. NLT will say, consider yourselves dead to sin. In other words, there is a way you now begin to see yourself because you are now in Christ. That is a major foundation for Christian conduct. This morning I'm bringing a charge on what I titled Be Content. Be content, an admonition on contentment. The way I wrote it in my note, I said, be content and admonition. Be content hyphen and admonition. Okay, or be content colon and admonition, whichever one. So I'm talking about contentment this morning. This message is going to have different parts. A part of it is going to be sweet, the other part is going to be bitter. It's going to slap you, it's going to comfort you in different ways, but you love the word of God, right? You know, sometimes when we begin to preach conduct and we come very happy, people say, are you sure you're a grace preacher? I'm not. I'm just preaching Bible. Hallelujah. Praise God, though. Praise God. Let me tell you, say, be content. What is contentment? Let me ask you, what do you think contentment is? To be satisfied. Well, 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. The Apostle Paul was talking to his son Timothy. He said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. It's a godliness with contentment. That word contentment means something like self-satisfaction. sufficient. It's a godliness without self-satisfaction is great gain. So this one, I'm going to charge you to learn contentment as a Christian virtue. As a Christian virtue. To learn and to practice it. But I'm going to start by correcting some things. Because there are many things contentment is not. I get the point. There are many things it is not. And maybe when I'm telling you what it is not, you get an idea of what it is. One of the things contentment is not, it is not mediocrity. It's not mediocrity. It is not mediocrity. It is not settling for less. Contentment doesn't mean that you have 1,000 naira and you're not saying, I don't even need another one. This one is enough for me. That's no contentment. You are settling for less. Are you getting the point? Are you getting the point? That's why trying or aiming to be big does not mean you are not content. I'm going to explain contentment for you with Bible, in Bible terms. It doesn't mean that some people say, well, you have a degree. Why are you still going for a master's degree and a PhD? Be content with your degree. That's not contentment. That is mediocrity. That goes against everything God stands for. God is an excellent God. I don't know if you know that. God is an excellent God. So when we say be content, we are not saying settle for less. We are not saying manage your degree. If you know me, I'm such a pastor that apart from pushing you to be excellent in your spiritual life, I will push you to be excellent in every aspect of your life. If you're very close to me, I'll push you to go for another degree. I'll push you to get everything you need to get. I'll push you to make more money. And that does not go against contentment. Contentment is not mediocrity. Contentment is not settling for less. Contentment is not being unambitious. That's not contentment. Before you just say, well, Pastor just blessed me this morning, you know, let me just rest. Laziness is the key. Let me just now. The Bible is basically against laziness. The Bible teaches diligence, hard work. I get the point. So contentment does not mean, let me just have just 3,000. No. If I had 3,000, I beg, it's okay for me. You know, when I was teaching on School of Faith, this is that message, School of Faith, the part A and the part B, very powerful teaching. I was telling some people, all the ones, if I could just get one sharp self-corn, that's everything I want. And that's how far you can see, and that's what you're gonna have. That doesn't mean you're content, it just means you're a low thinker. You get the point? It just means you are not maximizing what is available for you. But so contentment is not thinking small. No, it's not mediocrity. You know, if you check 1 Timothy 6, it will look like Paul was saying, be mediocre. Look at, he said, but godliness to contentment is great again. Verse 7. That's the next verse. He said, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. I'll come to all of the scriptures later. Verse 8. He said, and having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Verse 9, which is where it looks very a bit confusing. He said, but they that will be rich will fall into temptation and a snare. So it looks like Paul is saying, see, don't try to be rich, oh, just try to manage what you have. But that's not what Paul was saying. Because if you get all the way down to verse 17, Paul now began to talk about people who are rich and he didn't condemn them. He said in verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they should not trust, they should not be high-minded, nor trust in their riches. So what Paul was teaching against here was not about having money. At the beginning point, it was actually about an attitude which I'm going to address this morning towards the money. Are you still here this morning? So he didn't say charge them that are rich in this world to not be rich again. Because when you are rich, you will suffer. So if you are rich, just close your company, shut down your investment. And people who preach this are actually being deceptive. Because you're preaching against having money and preaching against wealth, and yet you are praying for promotion in your office. What is promotion again? It's more money. You are opening more branches of your business. You are advertising on Facebook and yet you are preaching against being rich. What are you saying? You are shooting yourself on the leg. Or in the leg. Hallelujah. Now, so what Paul was trying to say is not that you should not. So verse 17 shows that God is in against you wanting more, but the attitude to it. So contentment is not settling for smallness. If I'm going to define contentment in one sentence, I would say it is a state of being satisfied in God. That's just the definition. Instead of being satisfied in God, I'm going to show you. such that the presence or the absence of money or anything does not affect you. I say it again. Contentment is a state of being satisfied in God, such that the presence or the absence of money or anything does not affect you. Let me show you a man that lived this. That was Paul. Philippians chapter 4 from verse 10. Paul taught contentment there by his lifestyle. And he mentioned it. He said, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again." When you are so careful but you lack the opportunity. So they wanted to send money to him. That's the whole message of this passage. Verse 11. Okay, put up, go back to verse 10. Let's use NLT. Maybe this will help us. We'll come back to King James later. Look at verse 10. "How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me." And then in verse 11, Paul will say, "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have." So Paul said he learned what? Contentment. Now he now describes what he meant by that in the next verse. "I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little." So contentment is that state of satisfaction where the presence of money or the absence of it will not shake you. Are you still here this morning? When you see a man who is not content, for instance, you know him by when there is so much money. You see these people that, you know, some people think they are humble. It's money you don't have. Some people appear so humble. When money enters their pocket, you see pride. They did not just become proud when they got money. They've always been proud. The money just came to reveal their true self. I don't get the point. But contentment is that set of satisfaction in God, where the absence of, the lack of money or plenty of it will not shake you. Paul said, "I have learned how to live with big money or small money." How to live. Some people, you lack throws into depression. Plenty makes you joyful. You're not content. That's not contentment. I don't get the point. Then the next verse, Paul now says, "I can do all things through Christ." So when he says "I can do all things," he was not talking about all things. Do you get the point? Paul is not saying "I can rob a bank through Christ that strengthens me." Okay? Neither was Paul saying "I can write an exam through Christ that strengthens me." I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying God cannot help you. I'm not saying that's not what Paul was saying. What Paul was saying when he said "I can do all things," the premise of that all things, you already explained in verse 12, which is I can live on an empty stomach, and like I live in a full stomach or with a full stomach. So contentment is coming to that point where, as far as money, for instance, is concerned, where plenty money or little money will not shake you up, will not change who you are, will not shake you up. That's contentment. That's contentment. In Joshua chapter 13, verse 33. You find out that content. Let me say something else about contentment. It is coming to that point where it dawns on you that since the Lord is your portion, every other thing is of no value. Look at the way it was. It said, "But also the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance." So when he was sharing land, he didn't give the Levites any inheritance. Why? The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them. So you know, if you're not a content person, you can't be in the tribe of Levi. What it means that Moses came and shared land to everybody and did not give them any land, any inheritance. He told them, "The Lord your God is your inheritance." It's me, somebody, a person is not content to say, "What kind of thing is this one now? Is the Lord not everybody's inheritance in this place? Who is the Lord not his inheritance? Please give me my land, I beg. What kind of deception is this?" He said, "The Lord." So, how can the Levites be calm, seeing everybody with their inheritance, with their cars, with their lands, and they're still calm? The Lord said, "I'm your inheritance." It is contentment that makes you relaxed, knowing that the Lord is mine. Because I have the Lord, I have everything I need. You know, there's this song, this Igbo song we always sing, that Onye nwere Jesus nwere ihe. You know that song? Onwere ihe nile kacha mma. Onye nwere Jesus nwere ihe o. Onwere ihe nile kacha mma. You know, we sing it, but that song, it just means, since I have Jesus, I have everything, I have the best. Contentment is coming to that point where it dawns on you that the Jesus I have is of more value to me than money. Are you following me? That the Jesus I have is of more value to me than certificate. I'm not saying I'm not going to go for the certificate, but the Jesus I have is of more value than it. So the presence of the certificate or the absence of the certificate is not going to change me because I have Jesus. Come on, am I talking to you this morning? The presence of the money or the absence of it. So it said, I am your inheritance. So forget inheritance, forget land. I am your inheritance. Now you notice, if you read the whole narrative, the Levites were not broke at the end of the day, because the tithes of everyone was coming to them. You get the point? So it's not like God said, I want you to suffer because I'm your inheritance. But that point where, whether you have money or you don't have, you are satisfied that Jesus is enough. Now this way, the presence or the absence of money wouldn't change you. And also this way, you are not really scared. I'm going to touch some things today. You are not really scared of losing anything. You know, there are some people, when they lose some, there are some things in your life that when you lose, it's like your life has paused. That thing is your everything. Contentment is coming to a point where losing nothing makes no difference. Anything you lose, it's not like you lose it and be happy, but it's not going to break you. It's not going to keep you down, because you know I have Jesus. The Lord is my portion and I am content. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion. A song that has been singing in my heart since yesterday when I was walking over this message. This song, you alone are my heart, desire, and I long
to worship you.
As the dead planets fall, God has sown my soul longing after thee. Glad that you are born again. Does it make any sense that you have the Lord? When it dawns on you, maybe I'll take on that one, I'll be closing. That is contentment. When you say, I have the Lord, I walk, I look for money, but that is not everything my heart is craving after. So whether I get it or not, it's not going to make me less joyful. I don't get the point. Whether I get it or not, it's not going to make me less satisfied. My satisfaction is the Lord. My satisfaction is the Lord. You water. He says, so my heart longs after you. You know, the beautiful thing is that we're not just longing after him, we have him now.
Yes.
Let that be your satisfaction. Let that be your satisfaction. I'm running ahead of myself already. But that's the definition of contentment. When you can say the Lord is my portion, I'm content. So nothing I lose or nothing I gain is going to be any different. Know that it's contentment when it comes to your finance, for instance. That is contentment when it comes to your calling. Some persons are not content with their calling. I've touched all of that today. It's contentment in life. It doesn't mean you settle for less. Or coming to a point where the presence or the absence of money, presence or absence of crowd will not change you. There are some people who are still preaching the right message today because they don't have the crowd yet. While some are even compromising the message to get the crowd, not a content person. Are you following me this morning? Let me say something about discontentment. For instance, one major sign of discontentment is covetousness. One major sign that you are not content. In Luke chapter 12, verse 13, Jesus was talking about contentment and covetousness. And he made very powerful statements. You know, he was talking, and one of the company said, somebody said to him, "Master, speak to my brother that he should divide the inheritance with me." So they wanted to share land. And Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" Verse 15 is where I'm going to. And he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." Beware. The man wanted, Jesus already discerned covetousness in his heart. I'll still come to this verse later. He said, "A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." I'm coming to it later. So Jesus was trying to say, he already discerned this guy was covetous. What is covetousness again? When you want what belongs to another person. When you are envious. This is what leads to stealing. If you are not content, it will manifest in that you'll be a very covetous person. You begin to envy what belongs to others. You begin to envy what belongs to others. You begin to want it. You begin to want it. This is what leads to stealing. Your brother gets something, you are envious, you wish it had come to you. That's covetous. You are coveting what does not belong to you. Even the Old Testament is against covetousness. Hallelujah. Even the Ten Commandments said you should not covet. Abi? When you are not content, one of the things is going to make you a very covetous person. And one thing covetousness does, when you're covetous, it makes you a bitter person. You're always envious of your neighbor. It is discontentment that will make someone prosper and you're not feeling happy about it. Although you're laughing, saying, "Hey, thank God, though." But you're wondering, what does he have that I don't have? I'm coming to that. Another sign of discontentment is covetousness. Another sign of discontentment is worry. And that's why when they were giving word this morning, they were saying, "Worry, worry, worry." I said, "Well, that's in line." One major sign that you're not a content person is that you worry a lot. Worrying is different from planning. If you find yourself that you can no longer sleep, you find yourself that life is bothering you, you are not a content person. Look, let's see. Go back to that Luke 12. Okay, we're still Luke 12. Go to the next verse. Go to the next verse. That's verse 16. Put up NLT. Let me help you. A content man does not worry. He told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. Okay, the next verse. You know this story now. He said to himself, "What shall I do? I don't have room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I will sit back and say to myself, 'My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" God was not against him having money. Don't get it wrong. But God said to him, "You fool. You die this very night." Now God didn't kill him. Amen. Praise God. When a doctor says you have HIV, he's not saying "I gave you HIV," just telling you what is happening to you. You understand the point? Well, that's by the way. Then who will get everything you worked for? Then, as 21, this way, now slow down. A person is a fool to store up earthly wealth and not have a rich relationship with God. That's the whole message Jesus was trying to pass. I didn't get the point. That's contentment. When your relationship with God, your flow with God, is of more value to you than money. Such that even if you lose the money, because you have not lost that relationship with God, you are not shaken.
Are you following me this morning? And one sign that you are like that is that there will be no word. Look at that. Lord, listen, just continue verse 22. He says, then turning to his disciples, Jesus said, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. It's one sign. Whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. Some of you, this is a correction coming to you. You've lived all your life worried. It's always what, how am I going to scope? How am I going to eat? How am I going to do this? It shows they're not a content person. Look at this. For life is more than food. I've come to this and your body more than clothing. Verse 24. Now he began to teach on worry. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns. For God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than any pets. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Now I was talking to some of my people yesterday in night. And we were just having a good time. I think what we were doing was what I like about you. So I was telling them what I liked about all of them. And they were telling me what they liked about me. Very powerful moment yesterday. Amen. And then one of them said, I like how you handle life. You handle life like, as in, he said, I like how you handle situations. No matter what is going wrong, you are just so calm and relaxed. And I told them the reason is because of this verse. Since my worry cannot add anything to my life, so why are you worrying? So if everything is going wrong in this place now, maybe everything is scattered. I'm calming down. Not because I like what is happening. I don't even get the point. But I'm coming down because not coming down will not change anything. That was joking with them yesterday. I said, I told them, you're liking it now because I'm your pastor. If I'm your husband, I hope you will like it. Maybe your child is sick and they just took me to the hospital. You are pacing around and you just find your husband sitting down pressing phone. And you'll be like, carest not thou that will perish. You know, that's what happened. Jesus was in the boat. The thing was trying to capsize. A guy was sleeping. He said, this is not fair. But that is how to take life. Imagine your husband just pressing phone. You have to say, baby, sit down. Sit down. Everything will be fine. They said he has pneumonia. They said, sit down. The point is, pacing up and down the hospital, you'll not get him healed. Up and down, it doesn't mean you now, but pressing up and down saying, hey, no, sir, we see he's fine. I'm still gonna come to this. He said, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? You're worrying about money. Has he given you money? He just give you hypertension. That's why I check your blood pressure at your age.
Let's continue. Don't mind you.
And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't walk or make their clothing. Yes, Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and are thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Numbers 29, he said, and don't be concerned about what to eat or what to drink. Don't worry about such things. Verse 30, and we'll stop there for now. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. So it is the character of sinners to worry over food, over clothes. When you are being discontent, you live your life worrying, you are living like an unbeliever. Let me tell neighbor, say, calm down. Come on, say, calm down. Calm down. Hallelujah. Worry will not solve any issue. One sign that you are not content is that you worry too much. But a man that is content does not worry. Now what contentment is again? That you are satisfied in the fact that you have the Lord. So you're not worried because you have God. You see what Jesus was telling them? You have God. He takes care of the lilies. Because I now have him, I'm not going to worry about anything. I normally say to friends, nothing will go wrong with Jesus. And when you know this in your heart, no matter what is happening, you are just calm. No worry. Try to get sleep this night. You've not been sleeping for long. Do you get the point? Try to sleep. It's not as though being awake has changed anything. One other sign of discontentment, for instance, is compromise. When you are not content, you will always compromise. One sign that you are not content. Let's go back to that First Timothy 6 where we started from. First Timothy 6 verse 6. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. And at the next verse 7, he says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out of it. So Paul is trying to say, why are we bothered up over things that don't have any eternal value? Now he continued, he said, and having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10, for the love of money. This is what I wanted to see. That he says the root of all evil. Now you have to study this in context. I've done this for you before. When he says root of all evil, he was not saying every evil on earth is caused by love of money. No. There is something he was discussing in this chapter. If you have time, go back and read it. He was discussing false teaching and false teachers. False doctrine. So he said the love of money is the root of it. And like I can prove it to you. He said, which while some converted after, they have erred from the faith. The faith there talks about a doctrine handed over to us. Are you following me at all? So you err from the faith and pierce themselves too many sorrows. Now verse 11, he says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. So what Paul was telling Timothy is, you see, the love of money or discontentment, whatever you want to call it, will make you corrupt your message. It will make you compromise. Many pastors have compromised their teaching today, compromised their standard because of money. It will shock you to know that many people know that some of the things that are preaching is very wrong, but they can never stop preaching it, because stopping to preach it will mean money will stop coming in. Are you following me this morning? Money, and this is not about ministry, this is about life generally. The reason you are ready to steal, even if it means stealing, is because you're not content. Discontentment will make you compromise. I'm challenging you and I'm correcting you too. The compromise is never worth it. It's a sign that you are not content. You know, when a man is content, he cannot compromise. He can afford to let anything go. Why? He has the Lord. As I said, contentment is satisfaction in God. As a matter on your desk now, and I'm asking you to just bend the figures a little. Don't be like that. If you are ready to compromise, I tell people, when you are content in your studies, for instance, it doesn't mean you are ready to, it doesn't mean you want to fail. No, you're not going to fail. You are reading your book, you're trusting the Lord for something better, okay? But you are not going to sort anybody to pass any course. Because what if I don't sort and I fail the course? I have the Lord. When you are ready to compromise for anything, it shows you're not a contented person. We are ready to steal for it, you're not content. We are ready to bend the rules because of it, you're not content. And some of the testimonies that we share in church are incomplete testimonies because they are testimonies of compromise. Testimonies of compromise are blessing the Lord. Thank God though I made an A in the course. But we both know you paid. We know. Pastor Harry has come again. This is the original Pastor Harry. You paid. We know. I'm making a joke out of it, but you know you paid. And you are thanking God for you. Now, this is not to bring you down. This is to let you know that you should come to a point where you are content, such that, okay, if I don't compromise, what is going to happen? I'll lose the job, right? Or I'll fail the exam. One, if you believe God, you will not even fail it. Two, even if you fail it, you lost nothing. Even if you lose that money or that deal, you didn't lose anything. Why? You have the Lord. That's contentment. I have the Lord. Oh, come and say, I have the Lord. It should make a lot of sense to you. I have Jesus. I am content that Jesus is mine. Jesus is mine. So discontentment will make you compromise. It will make you steal. Painfully, Christian guys, Christian ladies, see ladies who are doing a lot of crazy things. And compromise can even be so little. Some people, for ordinary Instagram followers, they can go naked. And then, I don't know ordinary followers on Instagram. Let me pray for you. They will not even follow you. Say amen. No, no, even after going naked, they won't even. For ordinary Instagram followers, you can wear bone shorts, you can wear anything, so that what will happen? What are you selling to the world? What are you advertising? I told you we teach conduct not because it's going to take us to heaven. No, Jesus, the only way to go to heaven is by faith in Christ. You know that, right? But some things are just so belittling for you. Why are you going naked all over the place? Who sent you? Who is your pastor? No, not really. Say, Pastor Henry. No. No, you don't have a pastor. At least for now. Now, all I'm trying to say is, the compromise is never worth it. Let me tell you something. It is a thing of honor and pride to say something and stand by it. Do you know that when I made up my mind to teach the truth of the gospel, that I say there is contentment in ministry. When I made up my mind to teach the truth of the gospel, I knew the implication. I knew it was going to bring attacks. I knew people were going to say a lot of things against me and against what we preach. I knew we could and we did lose people. I didn't get the point. But I'm content. The contentment is, even if I lose everybody, but I'm doing what the Lord will have me to. Well, I have the Lord. I'm content. So every time you find yourself compromising, it's a sign of discontentment. Should I give you one more sign of discontentment? Comparison. A discontent man always compares himself with people. You know the Bible said comparing themselves with themselves, they are not wise. This foolishness to keep comparing yourself with another person. This foolishness. Comparing yourself. A discontent man is never satisfied. He's always looking at people. Ah, this guy already bought a new car. This guy already got the job. This guy is already married. Jesus Christ. You know, that's why some people are living their lives in other people's life. You're always checking out what is happening in everybody's life. What are you looking for? That will keep you more discontented, because there are people that are always ahead of you. I'm going to tell you, you will never be first, but you will never be last. That's not about life. You know, somebody is richer than you. So what of the richest man on earth? Don't worry, somebody is richer than him. Even if he's richer now, very soon somebody will overtake him. So if you're always looking at, he already has a job. Jay, somebody, how come this guy Mara Okwana school? This guy didn't do anything in school. He already has a job. What are you looking at? You're always comparing yourself with people. It's another sign that you are not content. This will forever keep you discontented, because people will always be ahead of you. One of the lessons I learned very early in ministry is to focus on my work. Now, I believe that, you know, if you're a football fan, there are some matches that they play. Sometimes the last day of the league, they're playing about all the matches at the same time. You know what I'm talking about, right? You find out it's only the fans who are watching who go on checking what they're playing in every other match. The players in the field are playing their own match. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's only you that is watching who will go up and down checking what's Man City playing. Has Liverpool scored? Have they defeated Arsenal? Sorry, have Arsenal carried cup? Praise God. You know, but the guys in the field who are playing, they are focused. If you want to achieve a lot, focus on your work. Stop looking outside. Stop looking into another person's house. What are you trying to check? As a minister, you're trying to check, they bought a new instrument. How come you are in your church and you know when that church added an instrument? You know when they bought a new AC? You know when a new member joined? What are you looking for? You are trying to compare yourself to know if they are doing better than you, or if you are doing better than them, if you are growing better. How many are there? Sometimes you see their pictures. You are trying to count how many are in church. What are you doing? What are you doing? Focus on your work. There is no comparison. It will keep you discontented. You will never be satisfied. Somebody is always better than you. It's going to pain you, but it's true. You know, I've said it before here. We want growth here. We preach growth. But one thing I don't want to be is to be first. My desire is not I want to be the first, the biggest pastor in Enugu. That's not what I want.
We just want to have a people who have knowledge of the word, who flow in things of the spirit, and who are committed to ministry. Are we going to be many? Yes. But we're not trying to be bigger than anybody. You see, you can want to be big without trying to be bigger than someone. I didn't get the point. Sometimes you compare yourself with people. No, a man of God I read about in history, this almost destroyed his ministry. The comparison was much that at night, I think it was Oral Roberts that had the largest tent. They were doing tent meetings then. This guy so much wanted to be first that at night, he will gather his team members. Midnight, they will go with a tape and they will measure Oral Roberts' tent to see how big it is, to compare it with their own. And when it is big, when it's not the same size, they will go and build a bigger one. Just to be first. That will keep you distracted all your life. It's not a sign of contentment. And this is something that people have always been saying, and it's true. Sometimes you're comparing yourself. Everybody has gotten married. Everybody has gotten a job. What of people that have died? You get the point? Some have died too. You didn't think about that? Stop that. Stop it. Stop it. Comparison. You know, I said something, I said, be challenged by people's progress. Be challenged by it. But don't compare yourself or envy them. It will make you walk out of the will of God for your life, because you always be pursuing them to do like them. It never keep you satisfied. That's why I normally want parents to stop these things they do. And if you are like that here and your parents have been trying to do this to you, please don't fall for it. All your mates are married. All your mates here, if look at Okechukwu, imara Okechukwu, mwah Matthew. People are doing things for their mother. I know for the Nigerian child, especially if you're a male, there's an age you get to, the pressure just comes naturally. Nobody has to tell you, the pressure comes. And then you begin to look at your mates. Hustle if you want to hustle. Work hard. Stop looking at any other person that is making it or who is not making it. I don't even get the point. It will put you so much under pressure. That's why sometimes you have to stay off social media, because that's where the pressure is. If you're not feeling it yet, don't worry, finish school and come out. You finish school, you come out, every time you go to social media, one of your classmates just bought Benz. They're coming and they begin to check. You're checking yourself. What you don't realize is that most of them are lies. They're lies, and they're all, they're make believe. And some people are not content in their marriage today because they're comparing their marriage with everybody's marriage. And what you don't realize is that you can never know what is going on in someone's marriage. You can never, except they tell you. You can never know. Now, I was joking with you guys the other day. You see a picture on Facebook, you see them that just hugging. Maybe the guy is in the kitchen and the lady is hugging him from behind and they're cooking. You tell your husband, look at that. See, let me tell you. Your mind did not tell you that it's somebody that snapped that picture. You see all the fine camera. Does it not tell that it was acting? They planned it. Say, hold, snap. Say, no. Hold again. They may not be cooking for all you care. But they wanted to make a point and put you under pressure. They start telling your husband they are not doing well. I was telling some of my daughters, all of this I normally encourage ladies to do once they are married. So when you're married, reduce how you hang out with your fellow married girls. Reduce it. Reduce it. It's going to put you under pressure. You guys now go there discussing your husband. Say, don't mind my husband. That man always spoiling me. And sometimes she bought it with her money. Now, even if it's not true, even if the man really bought it for her, stop looking outside your home. People are at different levels of their life. You get the point? Now, I was saying this in last Sunday when I was talking about ministry. You don't compare yourself. I said this when I was talking about, when I was teaching your ministry, being content to your calling and staying in your ordination. I give you an example with Daniel Colander. Remember that example? Daniel Colander at 26 had led millions of people to Christ. 26. Now, At 26, I've led a couple of hundred, okay, close to 1,000 or more. More than that, actually, because I had a lot of crusades to Christ. But it was not up to 1 million. Even till now, you never reached 1 million. Do you understand? Now, it would be foolishness for me to begin to call myself a calendar. Because by his ordination, he was ordained to take over from Rehad Bonke and ride on his waves. I don't get the point. For someone like me, I was ordained to start from the scratch. It doesn't mean he's better. It doesn't mean I'm better. It just means that is what the Lord will have us do. So I'm content and I'm there. The fact that he has 1 million people doesn't mean I'm not doing well. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Be content in what God has asked you to do. Be content. That's the thing about money too. Some people, I keep saying, your fatherhood is a leverage. Some people came from very rich homes, and that's a very good thing. You are starting your company with 50,000. Yeah, and they're even taking loan. Some of them, their father will give them a small loan of 50 million. A very small, you know, you saw that video? Donald Trump said, my father gave me a small loan of $1 million. You saw the video? A small loan of $1 million. I said, wow. I receive small loans, Lord. I receive small loan. Small loan of $1 million. And then such a man, in less than 1 year, he's everywhere making it. Now you started with 50,000. Just be content. I didn't say you should settle there. But don't start looking it and looking into people's affairs and feeling like, hey man, I'm not making it. See Donald Trump. 22 years, you already bought private jet. Okay, calm down. Don't compare yourself. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Content with the comparison. And a man of God once said, it will steal your joy. You know, comparison will steal your joy. You will never be happy because somebody is doing better than you. Somebody is doing better than you. Even in spiritual things, don't compare yourself with people. Don't. To keep you, take you out of God's will. It will make you compromise yourself because you're trying to compare yourself with people. Now, to walk in contentment, this is going to be a service of a lot of consecration. We're going to consecrate ourselves. We're going to make some praise of God of prayer because I don't want you to go too far from the will of God. Amen. You have to be in there. To walk in contentment, I'm just going to make some very powerful points, about four or five, and I'll begin to pray. Have you been blessed? Now, one of the things I'd like you to know, if you're going to be a content person, you're going to walk in contentment actually, is first of all, realize that this contentment is a virtue that's already in your reborn spirit. Remember, God will never ask you to do what he has not empowered you to do. You remember that? God will never ask you to do what has not empowered you to do. Paul said, I can do all things. And what he was referring to then was contentment. And so if Paul said, I can do all things, I can beat my chest and say, what is of Paul is, I mean, belongs to me too. Amen? Belongs to me. So you must realize that in you dwells contentment. You're a content man. That's like when I was teaching on working in love. You're a love being, right? You're a content person. See yourself like that. I'm contented. I'm a content man. I'm not discontented. Hallelujah. You know, it starts from there. The mistake is when you are looking at contentment as something that you don't have and not trying to import it from somewhere. No. See it as something that is already in your spirit, man. Something that is already yours in Christ. So what we are calling you to do this morning is not actually to possess contentment. It is to walk in what is already yours. Are you following me this morning? It's to walk in it. It's to walk in it. Not like we're calling you to live right. We're not calling you to impose right living. We are saying it's already in you. So you walk in it. Just like I normally use this example. Maybe I'll use this again before I continue. When you give birth to a child, and that's what we do with preaching. When you give birth to a child, as a child begins to grow, you already know that inherent in the child is the ability to walk, right? But at first, the child will not be walking. So what do? You begin to guide him to walk. Sometimes you hold something and say, come and collect it. Do you know what I'm talking about? And the child will walk. Well, you are not trying to import walking ability into him. He's already in him. You're just trying to make it gain expression. So contentment is yours. Hallelujah. Sometimes I'm content. Say, I am content. I'm a content man. Hallelujah.
I'm content. Now, the second thing I'm going to say, if you're going to work on contentment, is realize this and reassure yourself that the Lord, not money, not fame, is your life. You know, the reason many are not content is because some of the things they are holding on to is life to them. Some people, your job is your life. You don't say it, you don't agree, but it is so. So when you lose it, it's like your life has paused. Luke chapter 13, verse 15. Jesus said, beware of covetousness. But then, what I wanted to see, Luke 12, rather, not 13. What I wanted to see is the second part of that sentence. He said, beware of covetousness. And I said, for a man's life. Luke 12, 15, quickly. He says, a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possessed. Put up like NLT. We're going to read the different translations. NLT says, life is not measured by how much you own. So, money is not my life. If you're going to be a content man, you must come to a point where you realize, like I started with, that the Lord is all I need. And the Lord is enough for me. And so these things, as much as I will have them, they are not what adds value to me. Are you following me this morning? This is not what will add value to me. Many of us are proud today because you have a good car. You're proud today because you have a good job. What if the job is gone? What if the car is gone? If you've been alive long enough, you will know that everything that comes will go one day. What if they go? That is your value. That's why you're working so hard to maintain your wealth. Not because you just want to provide a good life for your children or anything. No, but because that is the essence of your life. If you lose it, life has ended. Reassure yourself that the Lord is the essence of your life and not money, not your certificate. Put up like Amplified, another translation of this. And that is, the life is not measured by how much you own. Amplified said, a man's life does not consist in and is not derived from possessing overflowing abundance or that which is over and above his needs. That's not what makes life. Put up like Message. I've not tried this with Message. What are this Message? Life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot. That's not what defines life. When this is settled in your heart, you are getting set to be a content man. These things, they are not what add value to me. I have the kingdom of God. I have Jesus. When we say the Holy Ghost is more than gold, it should really mean that to you. Oh, maybe gold is too far. When you say the Holy Ghost is more than money, it should really mean that to you. Such that even when you lose money, oh, you can cry and cry and cry, but there is a way you will not cry much, because I have the Holy Ghost. I have not lost him, and I will never lose him. Said, I will never leave you. Said, I will never leave you. He said, I will send the promise of the Father, and he shall abide with you forever. I have him. So, where is your value coming from? You have to celebrate and be joyful in the fact that you are in Christ. And it matters. It's a big deal that I'm in Christ. And it has given me joy. It has given me satisfaction. Somebody asked me, when I was stepping out into ministry, with all the plans I had, this is said, you are sacrificing a lot for what you want to do. He said, what if you don't make it? I said, what do you call making it? I mean, what if you don't become rich or something? And I said, well, it can't happen. Okay? I'll still come to that. Well, I've been young and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And I believe it fully. No, you see it back for bread. It can't happen. I said, but you see, that is not even the point. The most important thing for me is that I am doing what God has asked me to do. That's what matters. And in that, I am content. You know, when money is the, you know, I've seen men of God that are so passionate trying to build the church. But then once money comes, maybe somebody just says, sir, you blessed my life, and wires like 100M to them. You see, the whole passion to build the church and to make the church, everything has gone.
It was all about the money.
You see, I want to tell you something. Life is not about how much you own. The Bible tells us in Colossians 3 verse 4. It says, when Christ, that is, who is our life, shall appear. So we shall see him. So your life is actually Christ. And that should matter to you. I have Jesus in my life, and it matters. That's all that matters. I'm living for him. That's all that matters. I'm doing the work of the kingdom. That's all that matters. Jesus said in that Luke chapter 12, he said, don't worry about anything. In verse 31, he now said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. Because he's saying, don't worry about money, don't worry about cars, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Your focus should be on the kingdom. He said, everything shall be added. Verse 32 now makes it. He said, when he says seek the kingdom, some of them were already thinking, how can I get the kingdom? Jesus said, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And today he has given us the kingdom. Hallelujah. And so that he said they should seek. We have sought and we have found. So be content in the fact that you have found it. That is the essence of your life. You see, marriage is a beautiful thing. Okay? But you see, that is not what will add value to you. That's not what is going to add value to you. Whether you marry or not, be content in the fact that I have Jesus. I found the kingdom. Let me settle your head. After I said this message, you come to indifference. Some of you may not like it. But be content. How many of you are excited that you are born again? Let me see your hand. Are you glad you are born again? Are you glad that you are saved? Do you know that having Jesus is of more value than having money? Well, come on, do you? I don't know how to explain it. That's simply it. This normal thing will say. Hallelujah. When I sing that, Jesus, I'm not singing it because I'm trying to just excite you. I mean it. That is an Igbo song. It means, Jesus, if you have Jesus, you have everything. You have the best. And that's how I see it. That's how I see it. You should be excited. You should be confident. You should be glad that you have Jesus. How do I even talk about this point again? You should be glad that Jesus is your Father. He lives inside of you. Jesus is mine. I have Jesus. That's all that counts. He said, seek first the kingdom. And I said, but do not fear, because your Father really wants to give you that kingdom. And for us, when we came into Jesus, we came into that kingdom. He has given us that kingdom. So today, there is no point to worry. There's no point to break your head over anything. There's no point. Be content in the fact. So this way, whether there is so much money or not, you'll be working hard, you'll be hustling, but you see, it's not going to be because if you don't get it, your life has ended. My life has not ended if I don't have money. And my life does not start when I get money. Let me say it again. My life did not end or will not end if I've not gotten money yet. And it will not even start when I get it. My life started when I came into Christ. That's when my life started. And so while one of the things discontentment will do to you, it will make you work hard and pray hard for the wrong reasons. Those people are working hard today. And the reason they're working hard is to show them, to pepper them. That's a very terrible reason. Why are you trying to pepper? I'm going to show them. They will see me. Who? Nobody's looking at you. Don't overestimate your relative importance. Nobody's looking at you. You're not that important. I'm going to work hard, work hard. Okay, you have to be alive. You have to feed your family. You have to give to the church. You have to bless people. Work hard for the right reasons. Discontentment will make you work hard for foolish reasons. You want to show them. I want to shut down everywhere in this. What is your problem? What is your problem? And that wrong reason will put you under pressure. Many of you, the reason you want to get a job, you are so much in need of a job to show your family.
or to show your friends, or to show that, hey, we have arrived. You arrived the day you came into Christ. You did not arrive the day you got the job. That's why you can lose the job and you still arrived. You can lose the job and you still arrived. It puts you in a state of rest. That even when you are praying, you are not praying like your life is finished. No. You are praying from a point of rest. Hallelujah. You're working hard from a point of rest. I have Jesus in my life. I'm so proud of it. Hallelujah. I'm so proud of it. I'm so proud of it. Let's take that song. Jesus. Sing like you know what I'm saying.
Onye nwere Jesus nwere ihe. O nwere ihe niile.
I personalize it.
Ebe nwere Jesus enwere m ihe. Enwere m ihe niile kacha mma. Ebe nwere Jesus enwere m ihe. Enwere m ihe.
One more time, sing it.
Enwere m Jesus. Ebe nwere.
I have everything. Like three more times. Sing it again.
Where am Jesus? Where am I? Where am I? Where Jesus? Where am I?
Two more times.
Amen, Jesus. Amen, Jesus.
Amen, Jesus. Amen, Jesus. Amen, Jesus. Amen, Jesus.
Amen,
Jesus.
Amen,
Jesus. For the last time.
Amen, Jesus. Amen, Jesus.
Amen,
Jesus.
Amen,
Jesus.
Amen,
Jesus.
Amen,
Jesus. Amen, Jesus.
Listen, this is the heart that takes you to mission. How do you know? If this has not been settled in your heart, you cannot fulfill God's plan for your life. You can't do missions, for instance. That thing that will make you leave everything, leave. You know, this is the heart that takes you to mission. This is the heart that makes you stay in God's will for your life. You see, a job of 1.8 million naira. You see another one of 400,000 naira. This one is going to take you away from church, take you away from life, take you away from your family. This other one is not as pain as this one, but it's going to keep you in God's way for your life. You go for it. It's not because you are thinking small. It's because you know that that job is not what has value to you. I didn't get the point. You know. I don't want to ask value to you. Look at the job, like, is this what keeps you in ministry, keeps you in missions? Now I read some stories of missionaries, leave everything, go to a stranger, and what if you don't make it? Well, Jesus is more than gold. Jesus is more than everything. And I'm not just trying to say it as what you say. I'm staying on it so that it can sink. I'm saying it over and over again. Jesus is more than all those things. You see, the fact that you have the life of Christ in you is of more value than whatever you can have. That's not to kill your ambition, no. That's not to stop you from dreaming. But that is to keep you at rest. To know that not your wife. Your wife cannot add value to you. More cars. You know, let me say this to you. I say this all the time. You will grow to find out that real satisfaction is Jesus. You will grow to find out. You don't know yet. Because you don't have money yet. Something is telling you that when I jam this money, I'm praying for you. You will hit it more than you expect. When you hit it, you will now know that that is not where the joy is found. Are you following me? You will hit it. Some wake up to this reality on their deathbed. Some, you will make it, get money. Some of you think
you know, I don't have a boyfriend, I don't have a fiance that's going to marry me. You think if I just get married, Kai, my life will just be sweet. You will get married. And if you want it very soon, but that is not a satisfaction. True satisfaction is found in spending and being spent for Jesus. That's true satisfaction. Hallelujah. So you might need to study. You might need to learn these facts more. You might need to stay, maybe take out time this period and begin to study the realities that we have in Christ. And begin to satisfy your heart with the fact that these things are mine. I don't get the point. That is settled in your heart. That is settled in your heart. Hallelujah. So I said, if you're going to be content, first I said you must know that this contentment thing is something that is already in you. That you must realize and settle in your heart. Realize and reassure yourself that the Lord and not money or certificate or anything is your life. Your life is actually Jesus. It's actually Jesus. Now, another thing I'm going to say about contentment, and I want to say this, the Lord said I should emphasize this a little, is if you're going to be a man that walk in contentment, you must learn to be a thankful person. Be thankful for every little thing that you have. One thing that causes discontentment is that we are not thankful for the small things. You know, I say something, do not be that man that is in a hurry to ask for things. I am not ready to thank God for them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Have a lacroba shatia. He said, in everything, give thanks. He said, for this is the will of God. The will of God for you is that you give thanks. You see how you are worried now that you don't have a car? You see how you are worried that you don't have whatever? But then you forget that there are many other things you have that you can be thankful for. I'm not saying be thankful in your heart. I said, make out time always. Let make out time begin to thank. Don't say, Father, thank you for everything. No. Thank him for those specific things that you have been ignoring. You know, one of the things this does to you, when you begin to thank God for those small things, in quotes, you will begin to appreciate those things you call small. And I told one of my sons, I said, waking up, you see, sleeping and waking up is an underrated blessing. Leaving your house in the morning and coming back in the night is an underrated blessing. You never thought about it. But because you've never made that time to thank God, you are blaming God for what? Now, the Bible did not say you should thank God for everything. Don't thank God for poverty. Don't thank God because you don't have money. But even in the midst of the lack, that is something you have. Can you make out time and lift your voice and bless him for the beautiful things that you have? Small in quotes, the little money. That small 1,000. That small job. You know that small job? Can you be grateful to God for it? In that same Luke chapter 12, in verse 22, because was he studying that chapter on contentment? In verse 22, Jesus was talking. He said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. Verse 23, so I'm going to. He said, the life is more than meat, and the body is more than clothes. You see, when you are complaining that you don't have food, Jesus is saying, life in itself is more than food. So be grateful to God for life. The body in itself is more than clothes. Hallelujah. When you begin to thank God this way, it cures your heart of discontentment. The way I put it in my mind, I said, be thankful in the midst of little things as you expect more. You get the point? I'm not saying just thank God and say, thank you, Father, I can manage this. No, that's not the character of God. Don't say I can manage this. You are thankful, you're expecting more, but be thankful. Be thankful. Hallelujah. Learn to say things like, you've been faithful, Lord. Learn to say such things. From the ages past. That is why. We're going to take 3 minutes to bless him. 3 to 5 minutes.
make you do something this evening, this morning.
I'm going to make you remember the small things that God has done. Is it small? Your health. When you are down and He restored you. You are crying over money now. Thank Him because you have not died at least. Thank Him. You know, do you remember those times you are, I keep saying this, you are so down financially somehow. Okay, is it not even a miracle that you've not had 10,000 in the past 3 weeks and you are still surviving, you are still eating, you are still alive? There are a lot of things to be thankful for. Each of us, let's bless Him.
That is why.
Say you've been faithful, Lord.
That is why your name is forever.
Oh, you've been faithful, Lord.
That is why your name.
You've been faithful, Lord.
Shamanelo
Mara Dariadala Baba Shadia. This will cure your heart of some comparisons. You're comparing yourself with people, but God has really been good. Dianana Marabala Baba Shandia. One more time.
Say you've been faithful, Lord.
For those small things.
That is why
your name
is forevermore.
I want in thanksgiving does to you is that it makes you appreciate the things you call small. Is it thanksgiving? It makes you appreciate the things you call small. It even makes you even believe God for bigger things. Because thanking God will help you remember the things He has done. And now believe that if He did this once, He will do another one. God's been good. It will cure your heart of discontentment. You are not content because you are looking down on the things that God has done. Can you be thankful for them? Can you be thankful for them? Supernatural deliverances. You are involved in an accident, and He saved you. You needed the money. Sometimes at the 3 minutes, the money just came. Sometimes you did not even see the money, but the project was accomplished. Somehow, God has a way of coming through for you. So be grateful to Him. It will cure your heart of discontentment. It will remove every discontentment in your heart. Oh, you don't have the job yet, but at least God is good. While I'm not settling for this job, I'm grateful to God for it.
I remember the place where you brought me from. Lord, I'm grateful for where I am today. I see you do. And I thank you for the future I see. I remember
the place you brought me from.
The place where you brought me from. I knew what in my life. thank you for the future I see.
We are not ungrateful people.
I thank you.
We are not ingrate.
For the future.
We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for the miracles you worked. The ones we ignored, the ones we called coincidences, the ones we didn't take note of, we are grateful to you, Father. For the ones we didn't take note of, the ones we ignored, the ones we just laughed away, the ones we just sisted away, we are grateful to you, Jesus. We are grateful to you for the provisions. We thank you for the provisions. We thank you for the results. Those that we didn't read for so much, but the results, they came out good. We are grateful. It was not a coincidence. Oh, the ones we didn't read much, but we entered the hall and it was just what we read that came out. The ones we thought were going to rewrite, but then it came out well. The business thing we thought was not going to pull through, but it pulled through. We thank you for the job. Hey, my Lord of Oshiada,
Lord, I thank you for the future I see.
We're going to take one song and then I'll just continue teaching. Yes, so all of us know. Say thank you,
thank you, Lord.
Say thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
I want the whole church to sing it. Let it rise.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for
everything.
Come on, let me hear you sing it. Say thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything
you have done.
Say thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything
you have done.
I had 10,000 dogs. I know you still would be now. Just go ahead and bless him. Just pray the Holy Ghost and bless him. Be specific to what you are grateful to God for this money. Be specific. Don't just say thank you, Lord, for everything. Think. Be specific. Life. Oh. Hallelujah. Try to be seated. That is a song that's been singing in my heart. I'm just trying to sing it. It's an Igbo song. This is a song that says, Gini kam geji kele ji. Is that a song?
Oh, God.
call your attention. Whenever I don't call your attention to Thanksgiving, you will not, you might lose sight of the fact that God has really been good to you. And it will make a very, sometimes discontentment comes from not being thankful. You see, if you're close to me, you know, if you complain a lot, I'll keep you far from me. I'm telling you, if someone that complains too much, like, no, it doesn't matter how big your situation is. You know, I'm a pastor. There is no tough situation that you bring to me that I've not seen a bigger one. Let me get a point. So, I've seen people. If you complain a lot, you're not going to be close to me. You must learn thanksgiving. In being thankful, you are teaching your heart to be content. It's because of comparison. No, if you can thank God, you just see that anyway, there are things I have that these people don't have. Even if I want to compare myself, I hope you know. There are things. Do you know that's the problem with comparison? Those guys are comparing yourself. Do you know there are things you have they don't have? Do you know? There are things you have they don't have. Some of you, you know, there's some undirected blessings. Some of you, have you ever sat down to bless? I don't know where you came from, but I've ever thanked God for your family before. Family is another undirected blessing. People don't remember. It's just my mom and my dad. If you hear some people's story and where they're coming from, you'll be grateful to God for your family. For some of us. Some of you grew up in families that there were violence. Sorry for that. But then some of you grew up in families that never see your dad curse your mom. That's a lot of blessing. You don't know what it means to grow up in a home where they're punching every day. But then because you've not seen whatever, you're just saying this life is a pot of beans. That's nonsense. Life is not a pot of beans. Life is good. Life is good. Life is good. Life is good. So in contentment, we are not settling for less. We are just grateful to God for the much we have seen. We are still expecting more. But God has been good. Expect something in this place. I can sense it very strongly. Something in this place strongly. Take a little more time and bless him. Just thank him. The psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not his benefits. You see, you've worried too much that you've even forgotten that somehow God has just been faithful. To teach your soul, bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul,
worship his holy name.
Godliness with contentment is great gain. It's great gain. Hallelujah. Let me just make one last one because I really feel like praying. One other thing that will help you walk in contentment. Maybe this is the last thing I'm just going to say. I help you walk in contentment. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. But you're a thankful person, you will learn to be content. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. Why should he be content? For he had said, I will never leave thee. So the writer of Hebrews was saying, when you trust in God, that God is always with me, he will keep you content. In verse 6, he says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. One of the things that will keep you content, as I'm going to close this morning, is to be confident in the fact that God is there. Trust in the Lord to keep you content. Hey, yeah. Trust that the Lord is always with you. This will cure compromise. Do you know, sometimes when there's money on your desk, for instance, and you have to compromise to take it, one reason that will make you not compromise is because I know that the Lord is my helper. He will come through for me. See, even if I lose this one, he will bring another one. How many of you know that? The Lord is able to give you much more. Remember that. He'll give you much more. He's able to do it. He said, go back to verse 5. He said, do away with covetousness. Be content with such things that you have, because the Lord has said. So when you know that the Lord is always with you, it gives you content. It cures worry. I don't know if you know that God is just a good God, and he always takes care of his own. This is one of the greatest things that has kept me content over time. You know, some of you know the early days of this ministry. This is the early days anyway. But there were tougher days than this. Not just for the ministry, for me particularly. There were tougher days. But you will never know. I was still preaching, and I have never thought of compromising, for instance, the message on giving or prosperity, that more money will come. There were tough days. Okay, there were days we slept on the street. It's not figurative. It's real. It's literal. One of the things that made me never crossed my mind. Even say I'm not doing it. It didn't cross my mind. In one of these is the Lord will come through for me. He's my helper. I told you guys, I've been young. Now I'm old. That was Sam. I'm not old. But see, I have never seen the righteous forsaken. He will come through for you when you trust. You know, Jesus was trying to get us. Go back to that Luke 12. Let's look at that again from verse 24. Jesus was trying to teach you to trust the character of God and be content. Put up NLT. Trust the character of God. God is good. I trust him. And if you really, really trust God, it will keep your heart very content. But listen, sometimes we are busy. We are not content. We are not satisfied. We are running up and down, thinking of how to do this, compromising, doing all of that. The truth is, you've not really trusted God. He says, look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them. And you are far more vulnerable to him than any person. So the God that feeds the birds will not leave me hungry. So this was trying to show us the character of God as a provider. And saying, when you think of that, don't worry about anything. Be content. Look at this. Continue. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Verse 26, 7. Look at the lilies. He started again. And how they grow. They don't walk. These are jobless flowers. They don't walk. They don't make their clothes. Yet Solomon was not dressed. Solomon is the richest man that has ever been. Yet he's not dressed. Now the God that dresses the lilies will not leave you naked. I get the point. You know the lilies, you know flowers. Beautiful stuffs. The Lord that makes them that beautiful, he will not just give you rags to wear. And I'm taking this literally as it is in the Bible. It's not figurative. He said the Lord that cares for the lilies, he will not leave you naked. He will give you clothes to wear. If you know this, that the Lord is always with me, he is my helper. Man cannot do anything to me. Nothing goes wrong. When you know this, you are just relaxed. Look at the next verse. He says, and if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. He now said, why do you have so little faith? So Jesus calls worry faithlessness. So why do you have so little faith? And not be concerned about what to eat or what to drink, and don't worry about such things. Now verse 30, say these things dominate thoughts of unbelievers. Do you know why unbelievers can afford to worry about this? They don't have the Lord. But you see, I trust in the Lord with all my mind. So Jesus expects us to trust God's goodness. He will take care of me. If you know he will take care of you, then rest. Hallelujah. You know that song we were singing the other day? As I give God my lifetime. And I told that song is about salvation, you know, right? We don't give our life to Christ in salvation. At salvation, we receive the life of Christ. Giving your life to Christ is what you do after salvation, where you devote your life to the ministry. Do you understand me, right? He will take care of me. As I give God my life, as I give God my lifetime, as I give God my life,
he will take care of me.
Hey!
Hallelujah.
So everything may not be in place, but I am not shaking. Why? God is with me. Okay. God is with me. God is not just with me. He is in me. Should I put it another way? God is for me. How many of you know God is for you? The power of God can never work against me. He always works in my favor. He is for me. And if he is for me, I can afford to rest. That everything will be fine. I don't know about you. And if you are close to me, if you always hearing this from me, I will just, one more time, just say everything will be fine. That's not just a statement. It's a knowing. Everything will be fine. And everything is always fine. Because nothing goes wrong with Jesus. You see, when you trust the Lord and you trust the Father, he's with you. You might not have all the money yet. You are working hard, but you are not disturbed. That's contentment. For I have the Lord. Not disturbed. What if it takes 10 years? I have not this trust. See, I have the Lord. You know, one of the things that makes you not to be worried, even if the promise of God take long to come to pass, is that you trust the character of God. That he has never failed. I don't know God. You know, God has never failed. In Genesis chapter 3, he prophesied the coming of Jesus. When he said, the seed of the woman shall... Genesis 3. It did not happen in Exodus, but he didn't fail. It didn't happen in Isaiah. It's after 4,000 years, it still happened. Though it's tarry. Wait for it. When he says a thing, he will do it. When you trust his character, you are just calm. How much money are you going to have on earth? So much money. How? God will take care of me. I'm telling you, God will take care of me. If you are here and you have a problem with trusting God for good things, then start formatting your prayer. I trust God for good things. And he has always showed up. When you know this, contentment is just yours. It's just yours. It's just yours. Hebrews 13 verse 5. He said, dwell with covetousness. Be content with such things. This is where I got the theme of this. Be content. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you. How many of you know that God is with you? He's not just in you to be making you to speak in tongues. He's in you to take care of you too. How many of you know? You know, it's not like we got born again and God said, okay, now you are born again. Face your life. I'm done. As you can see, I've tried. I died on the cross for you. And so, you know what? Even in that dying on the cross, he even put something in us, the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost came with what we call power gift. That power gift is the ability to cause whatever you want to be, to be. So you can use that power gift by the reason of his death on the cross. So even though I normally say the death of Christ was not for provision, I hope you know, the death of Christ was strictly for forgiveness of sins. But in that death, by him giving us the Holy Ghost and empowering us, he even took care of our needs. Because with our mouths now, we can now say, money come and money will come. Business will do well. Health come and health will come. I know the Lord is with me. If you are here, your heart is still troubled. You always find yourself worried or comparing yourself or troubled. That's discontentment. I want to put strength to your heart to know that the Lord is with you. And he will not fail. He will not fail. He will not fail. Now, maybe I'll round up from here. One of the last meeting conferences we had, I made a statement. I said, one sign that you trust God, for instance, with your money. Also, some people don't trust God about their money. One sign that you trust God about your money is that you can give it. I don't know if you know that. Giving is a sign that you trust God. The Bible says so. In that 1 Timothy 6 verse 17, it says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly what? All things to enjoy. Now he didn't stop there, verse 18. He now said that they be rich in good works. So one way to show that they do not trust in uncertain riches, but they trust in the Lord, is that they are rich in good works. Do you get the point? Let me explain it better. The reason why you have 10,000 naira and you cannot give out even 5,000 from there is because you are thinking, if I release this one, do I know when the next one will come? Your trust is in the money, it's not in God. If your trust is in God, you can afford to release it, you know that some another one will come. What will make these early church guys sell their houses? You read the book of Acts, right? They'll sell their houses, sell their lands. Who hypnotized them? If somebody does a new generation, they say, they brainwash church people, they brainwash them. Nobody brainwash these guys. Nobody even preached tithing to them. You know, you will not see tithing mentioned in the whole book of Acts. You will not see seed. You will not see. Nobody hypnotized them, but these guys will sell their land because somehow they knew the Lord will never leave me stranded. How many of you trust the Lord here? I trust God. He said, be content for he has said. And on this note, I want to say, nothing earthly is your source. See, money is not your source. That car is not your source. That job is not your source. My trust is in the Lord. My trust is in the Lord. I have Jesus. I trust him. It's not my money that I trust. I am content. I am content that he will take care of me. I am content. So even if, so this cures you. Just worry. So like I said, you want to walk in contentment, just know that nothing matters other than that you have Jesus. Then be thankful to God for the little things, what you call little, that are not really little. Then trust him totally. I expect to have a set of Christians who are not, who don't live their life in worry. A set of Christians who don't compromise standards. A set of Christians who are not covetous. Christians who are not, who the presence of money will not make them proud, and the absence of money will not make them unserious. How do you know a man is not content? Some people, it is the miracle job they prayed for that took them away from church. But coming to a point where, whether there is money or not, I am satisfied that Jesus is mine. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. You know, talking about love now, you have to be content in the love of Jesus for you. That way, you are not trusting on the love of any man to fulfill you. That's why you have a heartbreak, it doesn't take you 10 years to recover, because you are content in the fact that Jesus loves you. So you break my heart, I'm going to feel bad, I'm human. But then, that's not going to take a lot of time. I'm content in the love of Jesus for me. I didn't get the point. The reason why a guy leaves you, it's taking you years, is because you've built so much around the guy. He was all that mattered. Hallelujah. He was all that mattered. He was your life, your beginning and your end. I've said this before. You know, when you get married, you permitted to lie to your wife. You can tell her, I'm nothing without you. But you should know that it's a lie. I'm telling you, it's a lie. But my life began with you. That's a lie. My life did not begin with you. But I'm going to say it to you so that I'll sound romantic. But you should know, nobody is your life. Nobody different. That's why, God forbid, but then all of you are not going to die at the same time. One person will die before the other, two of us. That's why when one person dies, it doesn't take you 2 years to recover. You just mourn the person, pick yourself back, and continue the work of the ministry. Because actually you are content in the love of Jesus for you. How many of you know Jesus loves you? I'm accepted in the beloved. In different ways, you need to learn contentment. Learn it when it has to do with finance. Learn it when it has to do with your love life. Learn it when it has to do with your life generally. Be content in what Jesus has for you. Hallelujah. Let's stand on it. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me.
Let's do that chorus again.
I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me for you.
For the last time, I'm so glad, Justin. Let me hear you sing it.
Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me for you.
Are you glad that Jesus loves you? Are you content in the fact? Now, one last thing I'm going to do before I leave the stage. I'm going to ask you to think of everything that Jesus has done
Now, from the what he did on the cross, and be grateful to him. Think about it. On the cross, he gave his life. He gave us life. He gave us an essence of living. And I'm saying this by the Spirit. You lost something of value to you in recent times, and it's been keeping you troubled. Stop that. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. You know, that scripture we're looking at on Thursday. Remember this scripture on Thursday? And I was trying to look for, that's 2 Chronicles 25 or so. I was trying to look for the equivalent of that money that Isaiah Messiah or so Isaiah gave. You know the story I'm talking about? If you're here on Thursday. The king spent money carelessly to hire soldiers. And then the prophet said to him, don't do that. He said, don't go with those guys you've hired. And he asked the prophet, what will happen to this money I've spent on them? And the prophet said, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. I was trying to look for the equivalent of that money. I checked Living Bible when in a letter, and Living Bible said what he spent was around the range of $200,000. That's what the prophet told him. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. So you lost something, you made a poor investment, whatever it is. It's time to stop crying over spilled milk. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. So let there be no worry. Hallelujah. Be content. Be content. The reason a man is not some men, you see a man. You know, some people, you know, we have different callings. Some are called to stand in my position. Some are called to assist the work. I hope you know this is still a calling, right? But some, if you're not content in that, why can't I be? Why am I always the one at the back? Why can't I be in front? Be content where God has placed you. Be content with whatever you have, because the Lord said, "I will not leave you. He will always be there. He will take care of you." Are you getting me? He will do that. So I'm a content man. I'm a content man. Hallelujah. So this has come to you as an encouragement, to some of you as a correction, some of you as an instruction. Whatever it hits you, take it from there. Be content. Hallelujah. The Lord is always with me. And I'm thankful for the small things that He has done. And most importantly, my life is not all those things I'm looking for. The essence of life is Jesus. That's the most important thing. My life is not, you know, how many of you are trusting God for money? You get it. But that's not your life. You're trusting God for a good result. And some people, that's why you see, and I didn't talk about something because of our time. For instance, some people spend all their life pursuing money. Ignore church, ignore ministry, ignore family. And then, when they finally make the money, they've lost the most important things in life. Some things are more valuable than money. Family is one of them. I was talking about my daughter yesterday. You want to do career lady. You are doing career lady, your guy is doing career man. People leave the house by 6, come back by 7 or 8. You put a nanny or a maid to go and bring the children back. When they are grown, you've lost touch with your children. You've provided everything they can ever need, but you've lost them. I get the point. Some things of more value. Learn to prioritize some things. It will make you a content man. Life is more than food. The body is more than clothes. I get the point. But it's more than clothes. A man's life, this is what I wanted to go home with today. Put it up. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he has. Are you here? A man's life is not defined by the essence of life is not money. The essence of life is not first class. Did you get what I said? I think that's Luke 12 verse 23 or so. The essence of life is not first class. I wanted to make a first class. I wanted to get a distinction. I wanted to get all the money. I wanted to get a good husband. But that is not the sense of life. That's not the sense of life. Hallelujah. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's bless Him.
The satisfaction is that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, do you?
Just bless Him for His love. I just feel that strongly here.
I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me,
Jesus.
Take 3 minutes. Let me hear you pray in the Holy Ghost and bless him.
I am so glad,
so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me even me.
Do it one more time.
I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad
that Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me even me.
We'll do it like two more times.
I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me.
You know that.
I am so glad that Father loves me. His love will never be empty. Wonderful things in the Bible I've seen. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me.
I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me.
Do you have the circumstance of this? I want to sing it from the script.
Do I forget it and wander away? Still he don't love me whenever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee. When I remember that Jesus loves me, I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me.
Let's bless God for his love. Come on. Bless him for his love.
Jesus loves me.
Thank you, Father, for everything.
Jesus thank you. Loves me.
Hallelujah. Now, let me close this way. Is anybody here trusting the Lord for something? Because I have to prepare your heart, because it takes being at a state of rest to even expect something from God. Some of us, the reason why the things you're expecting have not yet come to you like they're supposed to come is because there is so much worry, you are so disturbed. Even your prayer is born out of anxiety. You know what I'm talking about? But then, now you're calm. You're expecting something from God. Lift your right hand. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray by the grace of God upon my life, I pray whatever you're looking for is found. I open every closed door for you in the name of Jesus. And like I have already announced, between September to December is victory for you. Through God, you will do valiantly. In the name of Jesus, through God, you will do valiantly. You will do valiantly. I say you will do valiantly. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Give him praise. A lot of things to learn from this. No, while I was just praying now, a scripture came to my head. The Bible said that Moses did not esteem. He didn't esteem the riches of Egypt. He gave up everything just to be with the children of Israel. That's contentment. God did not still leave him stranded. Hallelujah. Say, I'm a content man. Say, I know the Lord is with me. Oh, like you say, I know the Lord is with me. I am thankful for the little things I have, and I expect more, but I'm thankful, and I know the Lord will work it out. Hallelujah.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.